Okay, hi everyone. I'm back with another episode. It's been a while. Life has been lifing, and I haven't been able to record an episode in a while for several reasons. So I guess I'll give you a little life update. My cousin basically came out to LA because she's doing an internship over here, and so she was staying with me for a couple of weeks because she was looking for a place out here, etc. And I have a very small apartment, so I wasn't really able to record anything. Plus, she did not know, my family does not know about what I do. But I have a podcast. I know, hilarious. That's another story. But yeah, basically, I have made peace with the fact that my family is gonna find out eventually. And the thing is, I don't have a problem with them finding out. Like, I'm not ashamed of what I do whatsoever. In fact, I'm so proud because dancing has opened so many doors for me. But my family is very conservative, and I just know that they are not gonna take it well at all. So far I have just been hiding it from them because it's better this way. But I actually ended up telling my cousin, and I did ask her not to tell anybody, but I do know that when you spill a secret, it's only a matter of time once people find out and it leaks. And I kind of feel like it was almost my intent, like on purpose, because I'm thinking, if it spreads that way, fine. Then I don't have to have a confession moment. I know some people might think that that's not the right way to tell your family or whatever, but every family dynamic is different. And I don't have that kind of relationship with my parents where I can tell them anything. That's kind of what's been happening. And after she moved out, I had some other things that were just keeping me really busy and occupied, including lots of overtime at work, which I'm gonna talk about later, because I figured today I'll do a fun little episode, like a story time kind of episode, to come back to this podcast. I figured because I've been doing some pretty crazy private rooms recently. Just been having some interesting experiences doing private rooms at work. And so I figured it would be fun to spill the tea and share my stories with you. My voice is a little bit gone because I worked until 5 a.m. last night. So I'm sipping some tea and I hope it's gonna recover and my voice will make it through. But if I sound like a little bit raspy, I apologize. I'm trying really hard to keep my voice from like going away and straining. I actually think I might have to start speech therapy because I'm not speaking properly. So I take voice lessons, and my voice teacher told me that it's kind of abnormal how often I lose my voice just from speaking. So I think there's like some kind of, like, I speak from my throat instead of speaking from more nasally place. Nasally. Nasally. So I need to learn to speak differently because I rely on my voice so much with acting and dancing and this podcast and, you know, all the different things that I do using my voice, singing, etc. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to go to speech therapy soon. But yeah, let's jump into some stories. Story time. So yeah, I think I have told you, updated you, that I started working at a new club. And this club is really interesting. It's not like any other club I've worked at before. It's rather small. It's privately owned, so it's not like part of a chain or a company, like a big company, which I really like. So the atmosphere over there is very like familiar, cozy, like everyone knows each other type of a vibe. And I've been trying to work at this club for a while now, and it's really hard to get hired there because it's so small, and they don't have a lot of girls. And if you walk in as a customer, you would probably think that these girls don't make any money because it's always empty. It's always rather empty in there. It's never like popping, like packed in there. It's always rather like a low-key, loungy kind of vibe with only like a few people in there. But I'm telling you, everybody who comes there is a spender. Like, solid 90% of people who come there spend really well, and that's amazing. So it really doesn't take a lot of, you don't have to weed through a bunch of cheapskating people, you know, who just came to watch and don't want to tip, don't want to participate. The most people who come there really know what's going, like what's up, and really know that this is a private room based club. And so even though it's like pretty empty in there all the time, there's always rooms going on, and a lot of hour long rooms actually. So when I started there, I was like, the prices seem kind of cheap because, so 15 minutes at that club is $155, 30 minutes is $300, and an hour is $590. And at first I was like, that sounds rather low. And then, you know, our cut is, of course, smaller than that. So we obviously get 100 out of the 15 minutes, 200 out of the 30, and 400 out of the hour. So I was like, that seems like very little. How are we supposed to make money? But it's all in the tips at that club. Like, the amazing thing is that you can really get fat tips in this club, which is really cool. You can really meet the kind of guys that will send you thousands of dollars. which hasn't been the case really so far. I mean, here and there I would meet somebody who will tip me well. Especially back at Condor, I would sometimes have like really good tips, but I've never had like especially more than $1,000 tip. And at this club you can, which is really cool. But you kind of have to learn how to get them, because it's interesting that, you know, you really have to be that bitch. Like, you can't be asking for that amount of money and giving off any type of insecurity whatsoever, because then they're instantly gonna say no. Because if you're asking somebody, hi babe, could you just, you know, tip us $1,000 each, but you're saying it like timid or kind of like Like, you don't believe that that's possible, or you don't believe that he should be tipping you that amount. You know what I mean? If you feel like that's too much and you're kind of like just walking on eggshells and like asking really carefully, that's not going to land. And I've really been learning, like honing in my game, really learning to ask for a fat tip with confidence. Because when you know that this client has that type of money, you know that that's not going to hurt their financial status whatsoever. It's peanuts to them. $1,000 is peanuts to them. So if you know that, you really need to come strong. You need to come in with confidence, and you got to ask for that money like that's the most normal thing that you do all the time. Like, you really are that bitch who deserves it. You know what I mean? Who gets that kind of money all the time? Because then they're going to feel like you are you're challenging them. You're a high value woman, and then they're going to feel like they want to step up to the plate, because men love to prove themselves. In my experience, I do feel like men get pleasure and fulfillment out of, stepping up to the plate and like proving their value to a woman. So that is really good advice for any baby strippers listening. Learn to ask for what you want with confidence and self-assurance. Work on your self-worth. So do all that internal work, because I believe it's all connected to how you feel about yourself, what you think you're worthy of, and how you think about money and what your mindset is around money. Because that's another factor, I think, that, you know, people who grew up not having much, like me, I've had a lot of struggle to learn how to ask for a lot of money without feeling ashamed or thinking, oh my gosh, like, that's way too much, I'm asking for too much. It's not, because in their, they have a totally different perception of money, perspective. Like, they have a totally different financial status, and therefore they have a totally different standpoint towards money. So that was like a big journey, really, of growing my abundance mindset, unlearning certain limiting beliefs around money, poverty mindset that I grew up with, and that I still notice now in my day-to-day life. Now when I'm at the store and I notice I'm kind of like worrying about little prices, like I'm stressed out about a certain price, I'm trying to be like, no, like, you are abundant, you have everything you need, and you don't have to worry about providing for yourself and all of the fundamental things that you need. Of course, I'm not saying, you know, like, you should just be reckless with your money and just spend it on, you know, things that you don't need and like crazy, you know, spend crazy amounts. But I do think that spending money consciously and buying things that make you feel good and thanking the universe as you're buying them and showing gratitude does help increase your abundance mindset. And in turn will help you be more secure in yourself when you're asking for abundance, you know. That phrase is really true, you know, ask and you shall receive, because I think a lot of people, they, and not only when it comes to money, I think just in general, We are afraid to ask for what we want. I sure know that I have been, and this goes really deep, and I'm kind of going off topic, but I have been afraid to ask what I want in life, with my career, my goals, my dreams, especially. You know, it took me so long to admit to myself that I really want to become an actress and that I want to be a movie star. And yes, I want to be on the big screens, and I want to be seen, and I want to shine. I want to be in the spotlight. I want to perform on stage. Like, all these things, I didn't allow myself to ask for that, like ask the universe for that, because I didn't even allow myself to want them, because deep down somewhere I had this limiting belief that I'm not good enough to be a performer, to be a star, to be on stage, and therefore if I allow myself to desire that, then I'm gonna be disappointed. But, you know, countless hours of work and digging deep and tears and shedding these layers of conditioning, you know, because it's also conditioning from our parents and our surroundings. You know, not all of us have grown up with super supportive parents who told us we can be whoever we want to be. I mean, if you have, I applaud your parents. God bless your parents. That is beautiful. And I really hope that there's going to be more parents like this in the coming generations, because that will pass on. But for me, I grew up with a pretty limiting mother and father, both actually, but especially my mother, would tell me things like, you have to pick a grounded, normal person job because you're not special and you're not rich and you're not all of that. So you're not going to get any of those unattainable dreams that you have. Because when I was a kid, I would, you know, dream about being an actress, and I would tell my parents, and she would just basically tell me that that's not in the cards for you. Which is really, you know, we like underestimate how freaking impactful that is on our brains when we're that young. I really, you know, saved that in my hard drive of my brain, and it took a lot of work to go back and edit and delete those beliefs. Gonna take a sip of my tea. The ASMR. By the way, I dropped my microphone a couple of times. I apologize if the audio quality is lagging, but I hope this works. But yeah, so that's like a huge lesson. And last night I did a private room with this girl, Michaela, at my work, and she is a baby stripper, and she... So we had two guys, and the two of us, and they both had a lot of money, but especially the guy that I was with. And thankfully we switched, because at first I was with the other guy, and I am very glad we kind of it just naturally happened. But before we got into the room, we kind of switched our guys. And I had the more spendy kind of guy, because she just didn't ask for tips, and she didn't know how. And it really reminded me of when I started out dancing. I had such a hard time to ask for tips. I didn't know how. I didn't know what to ask for. And especially, I just didn't know how to ask in a way that they would say yes, because I just assumed that they were gonna say no, and that's the problem. But it made me realize how much I've evolved from that by seeing her last night. And She didn't tell me until the end of the night, actually, that she is a newbie stripper. So that made a lot of sense. But yeah, I asked our guy, you know, for the two of us. I was like, can you tip the two of us? And, you know, I'll send it to her. And he did. And at the end of the night, I split it with her and she was really grateful. She was like, thank you for including me while I'm still figuring things out. And I said, you know, girl, I totally remember how it was when I started. Like, this is so normal and you're going to learn. And I told her, you know, you have to just be that girl. Like, you have to be that bitch. You have to be really confident and know what you want. And you can't show them an ounce of self-doubt or insecurity. And she was like, yeah, like, I'm too nice. I was too nice as well. I remember being like, yeah, babe, could you leave me a tip, please? Like, could you take care of me? But like, too, like, nicey-nicey, because I was so afraid. And, you know, a little bit of edge does help. I don't think we should be, like, mean, but some girls are, like, full-blown, like, borderline mean. But yeah, and I think just that firmness helps. And I lost my train of thought. But yeah, so we started off with an hour-long room. And so they told us while we were still on the floor, my guy was like, you know, I have a little bit of something to party, like, do you guys party? And I love when a customer, okay, disclaimer, before I start talking about all this stuff, I'm going to talk about drug use, and excessive drug use. And I just want to put the disclaimer, because I don't know who listens to this. And I think it's really important to mention that I do not condone excessive drug use. I personally don't use these drugs at all. I'm going to go into that. But, you know, it's so important to be responsible. If you are an adult and you decide to use these kind of drugs, please be responsible, because the issues that it comes with are just not worth it. And your life is gonna lose so much quality, and I don't wish that for anyone. And yeah, stay away from drugs if you can. Sorry, I had to give that disclaimer. But yeah, so he said that he has some stuff, and I don't condone the usage of drugs, but it does help a lot with making money, because it just makes them stay longer. It makes them have energy longer, want to party for longer, and it also makes them a little bit more confident and, you know, cocky. which helps them be more generous generally. So, you know, I love a guy who wants to party, because I know that that's gonna help with the business. Yeah, this industry is not a healthy industry. It's based on a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms, and I do want to acknowledge that, because I don't want to glamorize this job. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, I do have to say it how it is, but I also need to acknowledge that it's unhealthy. But yeah, so I said, you know, I party if you party. And so we went, and he was actually not pressing me at all to do it, which I'm really glad. So I because one other time, we had a guy in the private room who was like, you do it, you do it. And then we had to, like, fake doing it, because I don't do drugs. Like, I don't do blow. But yeah, he didn't mind, so that was cool. But yeah, I freaking stayed sober and partied with these guys, danced and entertained these coked out guys until 4:30 a.m. in the morning. So I was dead as fuck, you can probably imagine. He asked me at some point, he was like, "You didn't do any coke. Like, how are you so energized?" And I just thought to myself, like, I'm not. I'm dying over here. But of course, I didn't say that. I was like, you know, I just have natural energy. I like to have fun. But inside, I was like, my legs are dying. But the cool thing is, like, you know, it also... it makes them less sexual, I feel like. It just makes them more, like, energized, wanting to have a good time versus, like, getting all touchy-feely, which I like, obviously. So, yeah. We then did an hour at this other club I work at that you can shuttle back and forth, and you can get a topless dance there. So the two clubs have the same owner, and one of them, the one that I work at, is actually a bikini bar, so there's no nudity at all, and it's, like, you know, a little bit more classy and stuff. And then the other club, it's still, like, a nice club, nice venue, but it's fully nude. So you can take a girl from my club and shuttle it over to the other one to get a topless private room. And you can bring a girl from the other club over to my club to drink, because the fully nude club doesn't have any alcohol. So that's kind of a cool thing. There's, like, a shuttle driver, and he drives the customers and girls back and forth between the two clubs, which is, you know, kind of cool. Yeah, I was talking with my coworkers about this the other day. Different ways to make the customers, to distract them from getting too sexual. And so one of my coworkers, who I really like her hustle, I think her game is on point, and she really is a good entertainer in the actual sense of what our job is, which is to entertain. She is funny, she is witty, she's always turned on, you know, like, always present with energy and cracks jokes and laughs and asks questions and engages, and that's really important. You know, if a guy, if, like, those real whales who spend thousands of dollars, they don't just want, like, a pretty girl who's chewing gum and sitting there bored out of her mind waiting to get paid. They want beautiful women, you know, top styled, top well dressed, who are funny, who are smart, who are witty, who are cracking jokes, making them feel like they're funny, making them feel seen, making them feel heard. That's what they really want. And I think that's the reason, that's what we're talking about, that's the reason why these guys spend thousands of dollars on entertainers and not end up getting any sexual favors. Because so many people ask me this, like, how are you making so much money but you don't even do anything? Like, how is it possible? And, like, some people don't even believe it. They're like, there's no way you make those amounts of money and you don't give them a blowjob and you don't whatever, do any extra sexual favors. But actually, I truly believe that you make more without giving that to them, because what we are selling ultimately is a fantasy of being with us, being our girlfriend, like, us being their girlfriends. And if you break that fantasy, if you give them the reality of it, they're going to lose interest. That's just how men function, a lot of them. At least the men that come into the strip clubs. That's how they function. They are challenged by the fantasy. As long as they can fantasize, they can chase and try and step up to the plate for us and provide value for us. But as soon as they get what they want, they're done. And so that's why, you know, people will ask me, why do these men spend thousands of dollars on a stripper when they could spend a fraction of it and just get an escort or a hooker, like someone to provide sex work for them and just get the real deal? And I think it's because they're not just looking for sex. They're looking for the whole package. They're looking for that girlfriend experience. Of course, every club is different. I'm talking about my club and these kind of guys. They're looking for the experience of being with a woman who is the whole package, who is funny, smart, sexy, beautiful, charming, sweet, who gasses him up, who gives him compliments. That's another thing that I haven't been doing enough or at all, to be honest, is giving compliments. Like, I noticed now that I'm doing these rooms together with other girls, they're gassing up their customers. They're giving them compliments. Like, you're so sexy. You're so, handsome. I love your hair, this and that. And they eat that shit up. You know, it really is, at the end of the day, that simple. They just want to feel valued and they want to feel desired, because a lot of these guys are pretty lonely and they don't get that in their real life because they're constantly working and they're stressed out, and maybe they have a wife at home who's nagging or, you know, who's dissatisfied for other reasons, you know, that are probably justified, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to invalidate that at all, but that's the situation that most of these men are in. So they want to escape all of that by just spending a couple of hours with a pretty pretty woman who has it all in that fantasy, you know, who has the whole package and gives them a good time. So I've started doing more of that, like gassing them up, giving them compliments, buttering them up, touching them more, like on their arm, you know, and caressing their leg while we're talking. And I'm telling you, it's it makes such a big difference. It's crazy. Like, the first time I noticed this was when me and my coworker were talking to these two guys who, they didn't look like they had money at all. They kind of looked like these skater boys, you know, kind of like worn down clothes. And we sat with them and I was just so unmotivated to talk to them because they just didn't seem like they were gonna spend. And the guy I was talking to kept going on his phone and texting, so I couldn't do anything. That's what I felt like. And then after a while, my coworker dragged me to the side and she was like, "What are you doing, girl? You need to get in there. Like, I'm doing all the work. Like, talk to your guy." And I was like, "He's on the phone. Like, what am I supposed to do?" And she's like, "Make him not be on his phone. Like, butter him up, gas him up." And I was like, "I guess you're right." And like, I didn't do that because I didn't think that was going to work. But I'm telling you, as soon as I started caressing his arm, giving him compliments, showing interest, oh my God, his demeanor changed completely. He softened up so much. He got like all, soft and bedazzled, and they instantly agreed to doing a private room. Like, it was that easy. So ever since then, I make sure I gas my customers up. And then, you know, it turns out they had like, I guess people call it trap money. I literally had to look up what that means, because I'm that uninformed with slang and pop culture. But it turns out it's, I guess, drug money. But yeah, they had a bunch of cash on them. They basically had like $1,000 in hundreds in every one of their pockets. They were probably carrying like $4,000 each on them. And yeah, they also brought their own blow, you know, so that was like an easy way of how we kept them in the room and, you know, kept them going. They were, you know, they kept themselves going, honestly. but yeah, they were doing it with like the $100 bills, like rolled up off of our butts and stuff. And then afterwards, they would give us the $100 bills to keep. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, it just shows, it kind of just opened my eyes a little bit to what these men are really seeking. And ever since I've been providing more of that, like providing more of that like emotional investment, I've been getting much more, like I've been making much more money. Yeah, I think versus in the past, I've just been more like reserved and just relying on, well, I'm a hot girl, I'm beautiful, so if they want to dance with me, they'll make the initiative, you know what I mean? But that's not how these high paying customers want to be treated. They want you to make the initiative. They want you to butter them up and gas them up, and then they're gonna provide for you. And so we were talking about that, and also how, you know, there's different types of sex work, right? So what we provide as strippers is a more emotional labor and a more kind of like giving on an emotional level. And the other type, like full service sex work, for example, there's obviously different types, and every person is different. But I'm sure that some, you know, because my coworker was saying this too, like if I was providing full service sex work, I would want to shut that emotional part of me off completely. I would just want to get there, be about business, provide that, and then leave. Because if you were to provide both, like the sexual and the emotional, that is so depleting, because then you're really giving your sexual energy, your emotional energy, your like all of your spirit away. And that sounds really depleting. Which only proves to say that sex work really is work. Like truly it is work, and it is challenging and it's difficult, and not everyone can do it. But yeah, I guess those, you know, there's, high-level escorts who spend like multiple hours with their customers and go on dates and then go back and, you know, have sex with them, etc. So that would be like a full, you know, full service of all of it, you know, the sexual, the emotional. And I can only imagine how how hard, how challenging that is. And that's why these people make the big bucks. And honestly, they deserve it. They deserve to make all that money because that is really intense labor. So yeah, those are some of the private rooms I did recently. I also did a room with four girls and three guys. They were like these golfers who came from like a golf tournament. One of them was my coworker's regular, so she brought them in and she was like, I was at home, literally in my PJs, eating chocolate cake, and I got a message from her and she goes, are you working tonight? My customer is coming in and bringing all his friends. I want to bring you into the room. And I was like, yeah, I'm working. When are they coming? And she was like, 30 minutes. And I was literally like, fuck. Because I was in that moment eating chocolate cake in my PJs on my bed. I was like, oh my gosh, fine. I guess I'm going to doll up and get pretty. But yeah, I'm so grateful that she put me onto that. And she's honestly been such a like good coworker and friend. And she's really been putting me on and teaching me so much. But yeah, we did we started like with a private room. And, you know, my guy, like me and this girl, like my guy had two girls since it was four girls and one guy. And me and her were, so she, her hustle is very party based. So that's another way, you know, obviously you can distract them from getting sexual. She just likes to party and she's really good at actually partying. Like she parties with them. I stay sober for the most part. Maybe I'll have like one drink and then I'll have like fake drinks. But yeah, she really parties. And this poor guy, he was drinking red wine and he agreed to doing shots with us. She, you know, she proposed like rounds of shots and he was like, yeah, I love to party. He was like all cocky. And so we had like three rounds of tequila shots. Obviously mine were fake, and then he did not jive with the tequila. Poor dude, he got too wasted. And we didn't realize until he was sober, like he was acting sober until he was acting drunk. It seemed like it all hit him at once. And he ended up just ordering an Uber and bouncing, which is hilarious because they already paid for us, you know, to go with him. So, like onto the second hour. But yeah, he left after the first hour. And so we like redistributed. And so the remaining two guys ended up having two girls. But yeah, it was a pretty good time. I really enjoy working with other girls. I'm not gonna lie, I never really used to work with other girls much, only whenever, you know, it just occurred. And whenever I worked with other girls in the past, it was more like every girl did her own thing on their guy. But now I'm doing like private rooms with like two girls and one guy, or multiple girls, multiple guys. And it's really nice. I really enjoy it because I feel like you're doing half of the work. You're doing less work and you're making more money. And it's just easier to convince, which I never really believed before. I used to think like, how do these girls, you know, convince a guy to tip double? You know what I mean? That must be hard and you must make half of the money. But no, trust me, like you actually make so much more with the right kind of guy working together. So I've really been enjoying that. And yeah, I almost to the point where I'm like, ugh, I don't want to work alone anymore because you have to be so on and you have to do everything yourself. But yeah, those are some of the stories that I experienced recently. There's more to come soon, I'm sure. And I'm glad to be back. Sorry for the radio silence. I mean, I don't even know how many people are listening to this yet. But, you know, I'm trying to be consistent and show up for this because it's just good to show up for things. And I really enjoy doing this. And I really do feel like it helps me process what I learn in this industry and this line of work. And it helps me, like, understand everything better. So yeah, I hope you found this interesting, insightful, or yeah, I hope you got something out of it. I really appreciate you listening. If you came this far, you're a real one. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Testing.